Now it should be on. All right. Sorry, everyone. You had the A team come back last week, and now you're back down to the C team. So, what I want to talk about today is focus, as you can see. Put this down so it sounds a little loud. Specifically, kind of the focus of our lives. I kind of talked about a similar idea with identity and, you know, keeping things in the correct place in our lives, and it kind of relates to that kind of in a practical way of, I guess, where you focus your mind or your eyes is kind of what gives you, you know, keep things in the correct place, keep things in the correct order in your life. What you focus on is kind of your purpose and what you kind of strive to be. So, yeah, what we ultimately focus on is what we are striving to achieve. I mean, this could be, you know, the focus of our minds. It could also be the focus of our eyes physically. But it's difficult to be successful at anything in life if we aren't focused. If we're not focused and we don't have a goal and we have something that we're trying to focus to achieve, it's hard to be successful. So I think we should take that same sort of idea of focus and apply it to our Christian life. We need to, in our lives, we need to consider what our goal is. We need to keep our focus in the proper place so that we can keep our lives on the right track to help us, you know, accomplish our purpose in this life, which, you know, as Christians, we're trying to glorify God and to ultimately follow His leading in our life, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to whatever that might be. So, you know, that brings up the question of what is the proper focus? Now, obvious, in a word, the answer is Christ. That should be the focus. But I think the passage in Hebrews 12, 1-3, I like that passage a lot. So what I want to do is just kind of go through that, because I think that passage, every line, I feel like every piece in that passage, yeah, you can turn there. Every piece in that passage, every line has some cool meaning or cool things we can take out of it. So we can go through, break it down, and see how that all applies to focus. So I have it up here too. I don't have the last line up here. Different versions of PowerPoint. Okay. So, it says, Hebrews 12, verses 1-3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So, to start off, you know, with that, we have, I think it's a, you know, it's a cool verse, kind of breaks it into, like, the race analogy and all that, so we'll get to that, but to start here, we have this the so great a cloud of witnesses. I'm not in a position to say exactly what that's talking about, because opinions are split on, you know, whether that refers to we're literally being watched by these Old Testament believers, because either way, it is referring to these Old Testament believers, and this is right after the Hall of Faith verse in Hebrews 11. So it is referring to them. Now, is it referring to them as literally watching us? Because that kind of is the connotation that you get from this. It's like there's greater witnesses surrounding us, and it has the race kind of feel. So that is one way that people take this. Some people are certain that that's what it means. But, you know, that kind of idea of us being watched by these other believers, past believers, are... it's not really mentioned anywhere else that I know of in the New Testament, so not sure, but others would say it refers to them as the witness, their lives as a witness to us. As they lived their lives and they died completing their Christian life, that's kind of a witness to us that we can follow and take from it what it is. The word, I believe, for witness here is used elsewhere in Hebrews, and I think it's more of a idea of like testimony type. So take from that what you will, but either way, I don't really know which way exactly it should be, but either way, I think it's can be motivation for us to keep our focus in the right place, because we can look to these other past believers and these other heroes of the faith, and we can either look at them as watching us, and you know, like you're a rookie on a team with these Hall of Fame guys, like you want to, you know, you want to impress them, you want to show them that you know what you're doing, and you put in the work, and you are able to carry on, I guess, what they have started in a sport analogy, but also on the other side of it, it could be just looking to them and looking at their example and seeing what they've done. That can be motivation, because you know there's so many examples of these people in the throughout the Bible that have gone through things that we go through, and it's see how they dealt with it, good or bad, and use it as an example in our lives to, you know, to address the situation. So I think in either case, we should make a point of paying attention to what the previous, you know, champions of the faith did in their lives, and we can use that to motivate us. We can use it to keep our focus in the right place and see how they dealt with these things. You know, the stories in the Bible aren't just fun stories for entertainment. You know, they're real things that happen, and they're real events that are there to teach us something and to help keep us focused in our life. And that's a gift from God to have the opportunity to see examples from these heroes of the faith in the past. So whichever it is, whichever way to be taken, I think this great cloud of witnesses can be used to help us to keep plugging forward in the Christian life by looking at their examples and using what they have gone through to impact our lives and how we live. So just a summary of kind of what I just said, look to the examples of the heroes of the faith that we have in the Bible who have successfully finished the race. Let that motivate us to keep going in our own lives. So next little section of this is lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. This one I like. The first thing that stands out to me is, I guess, how active this is. Different translations translate a different way. This one is lay aside. Another version says rid ourselves. I like the NIV translation, actually, which is throw off. And ESV also says lay aside, but it's whatever the translation is, it's all active. It's all us doing something to get these things off of us, because we can't just ignore things that are taking our focus away from where they should be, from Christ. We can't just hope, like, if I just ignore this thing, you know, maybe it'll go away, because this is not going to go away. Like, these things don't just go away. And I think we need to actively search out what these things are, whatever these encumbrances are, whatever these sins are. We need to actively find them and work to throw them off, to get them off, lay them aside, put them off of us so that we can keep going. I mean, these, you know, what are these obstacles? It could literally be anything. I mean, something that is an obstacle for one person might not be an obstacle for another person. So the point is, whatever this is, whatever the obstacle is, whatever the sin is, needs to be addressed, needs to be put aside so that we can keep moving forward. And I think that the second half of this passage kind of illustrates why we need to have more active participation in putting that aside and doing it, because the way that it says it so easily entangles us, just I guess the visual of being entangled by this sin is something that makes it pretty clear. Like, if you're entangled in something, and, or the ESV says clings so closely, which I like too, that clings to you, it entangles you. You know, that's not something that's just going to go away, right? You need to actually find that thing and pull it off you and put it aside. So we need to have this strong attitude of throwing it off, or ridding ourselves, or that thing will pull us away from where our focus should be. The visual of, you know, clinging can kind of explain this, because, I mean, you can imagine something clinging to you. It's hard to go anywhere, to do anything, if you just ignore it. It's still going to hold you back. Just ignoring something like this is not going to just, it's still going to hold you back, whether you address it or not. It's going to turn you aside. It's going to pull you away from where you want to be. So, so then the race analogy that's used here often, I mean, we can think of it in that way. It's very difficult to run a race when you have something clinging to you. I mean, you can picture the someone running a race like with a snowsuit or something on, or you know, work boots. Like, it's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna effectively be able to run this race if you have things clinging to you and holding you back. So we have to make the effort to, you know, take the coat off, take the boots off, and use what we the effective methods that we can to run this race without letting anything hold us back. But again, take it off, lay it aside, throw it off, rid ourselves of these things. And of course, you know, we can't accomplish this on our own. Obviously, we need God to help us to do this. It's not, you know, something we can, you know, we can't rely on our own power to do this, because this sin does so easily entangle us, and we need God to be able to give us the power to help us to pull these things off and to throw them away. So it's kind of ironic that we need to focus on, you know, God to focus on God. So, like, focus on Him to help Him focus on, to help us focus on Him. So, yeah, either way, but we have to focus on Christ, and we have to lay aside these things that hold us back from doing so. So again, this takes action on our part to lay aside or throw off whatever is holding us back, and take sin seriously. I mean, it entangles us, and it is something that needs to be addressed in our lives to keep us going forward in this race, to not get thrown off track by the sin and the whatever obstacles in our life. So the next little passage here, we have: run with endurance the race that is set before us. So here the author kind of presents this, our Christian life, as a race. And I think sometimes that could be helpful for us to think of it in that way, rather than, you know, kind of just going through the motions, like just living your life. 'Cause our job as Christians can sometimes need to be more active. A race requires a lot more, you know, preparation, a lot more focus than just, you know, a simple walk down the road. So having this attitude, I think, can help us to do what we need to do, to be prepared, to keep our focus in the right place, to be able to get rid of the things that are holding us back, as the last section told us. And to keep, you know, moving forward, to keep our focus where it needs to be, to keep moving forward in our life. And I think, you know, the second part of this is interesting too. It says this race that is set before us. Basically, God has the race that we need to run laid out for us. You know, like a track, it's all there. God has it laid out for us. Yeah, if we can think along with the author here, and him comparing it to a race, it's like the race is on a track or whatever. It's a defined starting point, defined finishing point, and there is an optimal path. There's an optimal way to run this race. And when we let ourselves drift from Christ. We let our focus drift from Christ. We're letting our focus drift from the finish line to wherever else. And it's like swerving, you know, in the track. If you're swerving one way or another way, you're not running the best route that's laid out. It's only making it harder and more difficult for yourself by, you know, swerving this way or that way, or getting off track, or turning around. You know, God has this path laid out for us. He has the best way for us to complete this race laid out for us. And it's kind of like, again, going back to what I talked about last time I was here, it's like the identity and purpose in our lives. You know, God has that. We have that identity and our purpose in Christ. So we don't have to, you know, search for that. We don't have to figure out what the best path is. You know, follow the path that God has laid out for us. And that will, you know, it's already laid out for us. We need to just work to be prepared, to focus on Christ, and to just follow the perfect path that is laid out for us by Christ. And then another point, obviously, that I like on this one is endurance, is the fact that it's run with endurance. This shows us the race that we're running is not just this quick little sprint. You know, you're not just running a short while. Like, it's a different type of thing. This is a long race. It's our entire lifetime of a race. It requires, you know, a lot more to endure than just something quick. So you can think of this, again, thinking of it in the real world, the race analogy, like these long distance races, these physically strenuous long races take a lot of preparation and a lot of focus to be able to effectively run these races. And that translates exactly to the Christian life. Like, this is a long race. This isn't a quick little sprint. This is something we have to be prepared, and we have to focus, and we have to remain focused throughout. I think of some of these long races and these people that do them, and it is preparation. I watched a documentary on someone that did an Ironman in Antarctica, and it's like an Ironman race in Antarctica. You're biking in the snow. It's crazy. The amount of preparation that it took to do that, it's you're solely focused on that for years, I think it was. We can kind of translate that to our lives, is we need to be prepared. We need to have the word, be in the word, knowing what we need to know to be able to be prepared for whatever might come in our lives. And, you know, pray, and again, just listen to God, listen to Him, and be ready for whatever might come, and just focus on Him throughout whatever we're doing. So, and again, with the endurance thing, it's like you can think of people in the Christian life as well as in races that shoot out of the gate strong and fast and then fade away. Like, that's not the kind of path we want to take. We don't want to shoot out and then fade. You want to be able to make it the full race. So we need to be prepared. We need to be ready to take the ups and downs that come, because there's going to be ups and downs. And we all, I'm sure, know people that have, shot out of the gate on fire for Christ and then hit one dip and one little negative thing, and it's like, oh, forget it. I've seen people like that. So we don't want to have that attitude. We want to be prepared. We want to be focused, and we want to be able to get through to be able to endure what will come up throughout this race that we're running. So again, we should treat our Christian life like a race. We need to prepare, plan, focus, and execute as you would when running a long distance race. It requires a lot of endurance and preparation and focus. And again, God has set the race before us, and we just need to stay on that path, follow the defined path, the perfect path that is laid out for us, and keep running, no matter what. we're good. Next passage here is fixing our eyes on Christ, fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is really the way that we accomplish anything. This is where our focus needs to be. This is the point of everything. Focus on Christ. Whatever we're doing, whatever we're going through, whatever ups or downs, focus on Christ. There's, again, this passage, you know, everything's translated different ways. I like this one, the way it's translated, this in the New American Standard here in the NIV, which is fixing our eyes on Christ. I just like the idea of our eyes being fixed. You know, you can think of someone, you see these people running races, and it's like their eyes are fixed on the finish line, and this is where they're going. And it's like nothing outside of that one thing matters. And we should have that idea, that focus, where we're you know, we're focused on that goal of Christ. And whatever happens out here, we don't want to pull our attention away, because that should be our goal. So much of our issues come back to our eyes, too. Like our eyes physically, as well as our eyes, you know, the mind's eye, I guess, whatever. But when we let our eyes wander physically, when we let our eyes wander to the dark corners of the world, you know, that affects our lives. You know, it affects our focus when we let ourself be pulled away, our eyes be pulled away this way and that way. It takes us away from where our focus should be. And then by letting your eyes look at whatever it shouldn't be looking at, or focusing on things we shouldn't be focusing on, it takes us it takes our focus away from Christ, and it takes our focus away from the ultimate goal that we're trying to achieve. So a physical way to keep our focus on Christ is to keep our eyes focused physically, if we keep our eyes focused, and then, you know, again, actively work to keep this, to throw these things off, to not let us not see, not look for at things that we should not be. So another translation says, looking only at Jesus. And I think that's an interesting way to look at it too, because, you know, sometimes we try to have several different focuses of our lives. We try to focus over here and on Christ, and that's just not the way it needs to be. We need to have our focus be only on Christ. Again, with the race analogy, you can think of a race. You know, anyone who's running a race is going to do well if they're, you know, trying to look behind them or look to the left or look to the right while they're running. It's just fairly unlikely that anyone's going to do well in a race where they're looking all over the place other than where they need to go. And also in like the focus of people's lives in athletics, like you see a lot of these stories of whoever, people are just solely focused on one thing, especially Olympics that are coming up. Like people that try to get to be the best at something, like that is the focus of their life. Everything they do will revolve around that thing. So, you know, that's what it takes to succeed in athletics, and that we should have that same focus, that this is what we need to be focused on. We need to have that sole focus in our lives to be able to reach that goal that we want to reach, which is, you know, getting to the end of our life, completing the race. So again, we have to keep our focus only on Christ so we don't drift off the path that God has laid out for us. It's hard to win a race when you're not even on the right path. So we can't let ourselves drift off into the ditch. We have to stay on the path that's laid out for us. Next, we have author and perfecter of the faith. So after the section on running the race and looking only at Jesus, we come to this section which kind of, I think, explains why we should only be looking at him. Why is he worthy of our attention and focus? Translations, again, like that word author is translated different ways. It's author or leader or pioneer or founder. And I think there's different things. Each translation kind of can bring out a different thing, a different point. But I think, you know, overall the intention is that Christ is the example that we should be following. He lived a perfect life. He gave us the perfect example that we should follow in our race. And that, you know, that's the reason. That's the reason he is worthy of our focus. He was perfect. He was tested in everything, as we are, as it says. And he has executed it perfectly. So we know, we can know by, you know, what he's gone through and his example. He's been through everything. So whatever we have going on, you know, Jesus has been there, and he's given us the blueprint. He's given us the path to endure it. And that's why he deserves our focus. I also like the idea of author. To me, it gives me the idea of, like, well, we talked about the path being set before us and being laid out for us. To me, the idea of Christ being the author tells us that he's the one that made the path as well. Like, he authored this path as well as living it as an example. But he laid out the path. And another reason why we should focus on him is because he laid out the path, right? So again, I see that idea of author as him. So he him perfecting the plan, also by dying on the cross. So he authored the plan, and then he lived the plan, and then perfected this plan that he authored himself by dying on the cross, which is, you know, gives us the opportunity for salvation for everyone. And there would be no faith if it wasn't for that. If it wasn't for him dying and resurrecting, like, there would be no path of faith for any of us. So this again, another reason why he deserves our focus. So just to, I guess, kind of summarize here, Jesus is the one who created the plan, and then both for us individually as well as the overall plan of faith for everyone. Then he lived it out perfectly. He laid the groundwork, gave us the blueprint, gave us the path, that, and he lived it out perfectly as an example. He died to complete the plan and to give us the opportunity for salvation. And then he helps us in our individual race and our individual faith, you know, race, by telling us to focus on him and giving us the example. And, you know, that tells you right there, from beginning to end, it's all Christ, right? He's done everything, and we kind of just need to do what he says, because he's done it. And, you know, that is as much of a reason to follow him as any, because beginning to end, he is worthy of that, and he's done it all. So, again, look to the perfect example that Jesus set for us. Why does he deserve our focus? He's the author of our faith, and he perfected that life of faith and gave us the example of how to live it. So, created the plan, lived it perfectly, died to complete the plan, and helps us with our individual plan of faith. I think that's what it says. Next. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So, this section shows us a specific way that Jesus is an example for us on how to endure. Because, you know, it says here he endured the cross. Jesus didn't see the cross as joy. You know, the Garden of Gethsemane tells us that, like, he did not want to do this. But what he was able to do is look at past the horror that was the cross to the joy that was on the other side, because he knew the joy that was set before him, both for him and for everyone, by giving us salvation. So it says here he despised the shame. So not only did Christ have to deal with the physical aspects of the cross, but he also had to manage those internal issues, such as feeling shame. At that time, you know, death by crucifixion would have been an incredibly shameful thing. And here we have, you know, Jesus, God, firstborn of all creation, Alpha and Omega, being put to death in this way. He was perfectly innocent, and yet, and he knew this, and yet he had to deal with the shame of being a common criminal. So sometimes we don't think of Christ as dealing with these type of things, like the shame, but he, it tells us right here, he did deal with it. He despised the shame. But, you know, he endured it. He went through it in order to bring about the joy that would come on the other side. He was able to look past this difficult is an understatement, but this difficult situation to be able to reach the future joy that could come later. And we can, you know, take that exact thing for our lives. I mean, we've all been in many difficult situations, and we have to look to Christ and the way he handled things. One of the ways we can get out of that, you know, get through that, is to look at what might come in the future. Look at the joy that could come in the future. And that might not, you know, that might not be on earth. Like the song said, you know, we were almost home. That might be our home, you know, completing the race, and that might be the joy that's on the other side. So so that can be the future that we look to, or the joy that we look to, is being, you know, completing our race. So I also think shame here is an interesting one that's specifically mentioned, because, you know, I think a lot of us as Christians, we try to avoid this. We don't want to feel this shame from the world, and it actually, you know, tells us Jesus didn't either. But the difference is that he endured it to be able to reach the joy that was on the other side. So I think we can take that, to be willing to deal with that shame that we get from the world, to be able to, you know, accomplish what we need to in our life. And I saw an interesting quote from Charles Spurgeon on this idea. He said, I think it was one of the sermons he gave, but he said, "I heard a prayer the other day which I did not quite like at first, but there is something in it after all. The good man said, 'Lord, if our hearts are hard, make them soft. But if our hearts are too soft, make them hard.' I know what he meant, and I think I can pray that last prayer for some of my friends who are so delicate that a sneer would kill them. May the Lord harden them till they can despise the shame." So, in the same way that Christ dealt with this shame, like, we don't want to be so soft that the littlest bit of shame that we feel, a little sneer that we get from the world, will shrink us away and stop us from doing what we need to do. We should be just that little bit amount harder so that we can deal with those things. Yeah, again, we need to follow Jesus' example. And even though we may not want to feel the shame, we may not want to feel that from the world, we need to accept it if that's what, you know, God has for us to do, and to endure it because of what could come on the other side. So I think a practical thing here is to sometimes we can get so focused on the difficult situation that we're in. We could get so beaten down by a difficult thing, and that makes it, by focusing on that, what we're in, and can't do this, it makes it harder for us to run this race. And one of the options in that, as Christ illustrated, is look beyond it. Try to look beyond it to the other side of it. It's easier said than done, but looking to the other side can help us, and the joy that could come can help us to get through what we're going through. Keep that focus on that future to ultimately reach the goal that we want to reach. So, again, Jesus was able to endure the cross by looking beyond to the joy that lay on the other side. Follow Jesus' example and focus on the future joy rather than the current physical, mental, or emotional difficulty. then next section is sat down at the right hand of God. So, and here, what we have is Jesus on the other side of that suffering. He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And in his case, you know, the result of his suffering led to the immeasurable good of salvation. But in addition to that, for Christ individually, you know, his race on earth was done. He completed, he endured to the end, and now he gets to take his place where he belongs. I mentioned him, you know, being the Alpha and the Omega and having to deal with this. Now he's in his position. He's in his position of authority that he deserves, that he should have been in the whole, that he was in, but should have been in here on earth. He should have been recognized as that, but he wasn't. He's in his rightful place. He's at the right hand of God, being the mediator between God and man. He served his time on earth, was perfect, and he still had to face the ridicule of people, but now he's in his position of authority where he belongs. And, you know, that's the reason why we should focus on him, his authority. He deserves to be in that position of authority. He deserves that place of focus in our lives. So we need to keep him in that position of authority in our lives as well as he is overall for all mankind. And then continuing the race analogy, it says he sat down at the right hand of God. So you can think of it in one of these long endurance races. These people, once they're done, they all want to sit down. They all want to rest. And I think, you know, this kind of gives that idea of rest. Like, however difficult it was for him as well as for us, you know, all the preparation, all the difficulties during the race, you get the chance to sit down and relax, not, you know, and I think Jesus might be showing us this by this act of him sitting down, that he's done his work here on earth. Now, he's not, you know, obviously he's not done. He's not doing nothing. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's interceding for us on our behalf with the Father. But in terms of his race here on earth, he's done. He sat down at the right hand of God. So we can look forward to that as well. I think that's something we can look forward to, that however difficult it is, at some point, we're going to get the chance to be in heaven, to rest with Christ. Now, I mean, we're not going to be sitting at the right hand of God like he is, but we're going to be there, and we're going to be resting with him. So yeah, we have a similar result. Once we reach the end of our race, we'll be glorified in heaven as well. We may not be sitting at the right hand of God, but we will be out of these bodies and in our glorified state. So, that's another thing we can look forward to in the difficulty within our race. Again, might not be, you know, the joy that comes in through a difficult situation. It might not be on earth. It could be this situation of resting with Christ in our glorified state in heaven. So, Jesus in his proper place of authority at the right hand of God shows us why he deserves our complete focus. And that's the main point of that section. So now the last section here in verse 3. For consider him who has endured so much hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I think this is kind of the practical summary of this whole section. He went through so much here on earth, specifically mentioned the hostility of people towards him when he should be in this position of authority, but he's getting this hostility by sinners against himself. Part of the reason he did that was to be an example for us. And the result should be, as it says here, you know, consider him and what he went through so that we don't grow weary, we don't lose heart. We go through so much, there's so many opportunities for us to lose heart and to fall away. But as it says here, whenever that happens, the solution or something we need to do is consider Jesus. He's been through it all. I mean, we talked about this a little earlier, but he's been through it all. There's nothing that we feel that he didn't feel. There's nothing we'd go through that he didn't go through in some form. So We need to look to his example, and we need to endure because he did it all. And on the other side of that difficulty, as we saw with him, there is joy, whether it's here on earth or whether it's glorification in heaven. Like Jesus is an example, he didn't have this earthly benefits of enduring. He endured to his death, but the focus is on the eternal, right? So we can take that and the same for us. Eternal focus gives us a better, allows us to deal with things better on earth here, because we know that there's much more to come than what we deal with here. So focus should be on Christ and on the eternal rather than the temporal. And considering him, you know, doing that helps us, as it says here, to not grow weary and lose heart. I mean, I think part of the reason there is no matter what we're going through, how can we look at our situation and the difficulty we're going through and then look at Christ and say, oh, woe is me. Oh, look, Jesus doesn't know at all what I'm going through. Like, look at what he did. It's so much worse than what we could possibly go through. So considering him and what he went through and that he endured it can be an example for us and be a motivator for us to keep going and to keep running this race. So in everything, you know, consider him. The highs, consider him. The lows, consider him. Focus on him no matter what. And we'll certainly be better for it. So no matter what we may go through, this tells us what to do. Consider him. This will help us to not lose heart and to allow us to keep moving forward and keep running this race. So to conclude, I think that's all, yeah. To conclude, I think this passage, I like this passage a lot. Probably one of my favorite passages in the Bible. There's just so much to it. Whether it's, you know, the cloud of witnesses, it tells us to think about the people before us and look at what they did as an example. It tells us to lay aside every encumbrance. That tells us we need, you know, some active participation, using God's power, of course, to lay aside these obstacles and put aside these things that are dragging us down. Tells us the sin which so easily entangles us. This shows us the danger, the reality of sin, and what it does to us. It tells us to run the race with endurance. It gives us a picture of how the Christian life should be lived, like a long race, and we need to have the preparation and focus to run the long race. It tells us to fix our eyes on Christ, the most practical and important solution to everything. Just focus on him. The author and perfecter of the faith shows us why we should focus on him, shows his authority as well as his, you know, his servanthood to be able to illustrate or to give us the example by living the life, the faith. For the joy set before him, this section gives us reasons why we should follow him again and practical things that he did that we should be following, enduring, despising shame, etc. Sat down at the right hand of God. This shows us the authority of Christ and him in his proper place of authority over everything. And then to wrap it up, consider him. The practicality of just focusing on Christ so that we won't grow weary, because we all have a job to do here. And considering him will help us to not lose focus. Consider him no matter what we're going through and keep running the race. So, as the passage says, fix your eyes on Christ no matter what. Throw off the sin or whatever obstacle is holding us back. Keep running the race. If you slow down or start getting off track, consider him, remember him and his example, and get back on track and keep moving. We can close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to come together to study your word. I pray that you will help us to keep running the race, to keep our focus on you, to keep our eyes fixed where it needs to be, where they need to be, and to not grow weary not lose heart, but to keep focusing on you, keep running the race, and keep moving forward no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.